Thank you for tuning in to our North Point Community Church podcast. Wherever you are in your faith journey, we pray that as you listen to this message, you will be encouraged and empowered. If you would like more information about our community, visit our website at ncc.team.
Hebrews chapter 12. I'll be reading from the Amplified Version of the Bible this morning, starting in verse 1. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin that so easily and cleverly entangles us, let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that God has set before us, looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith, the first incentive in our belief and the one who brings our faith to maturity, who for the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing his deity, his authority, and the completion of his work. Just consider and meditate on him who endured from sinners such bitter hostility against himself. Consider it all in comparison with your trials, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Today, I want to speak to you on the subject of it's graduation time. It's graduation time. Let's pray one more time before we get into the Word. Father, in the next few moments, do what only you can do. Change us and transform us into who you have called and created us to be, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You know, graduation day is significant and important. It means that you showed up. It means that you completed your assignments, and it means that you passed the necessary exams. And now we are in the high school graduation season, as all the local high schools are having their graduation ceremonies this weekend. But it's interesting that on graduation day, we have what is called a commencement. It's interesting to me because to graduate means to receive a degree or diploma on completing a course of study. But commencement, and more specifically, to commence, it means to begin or start. So when we look at this, we see that graduation is all about what we have been doing, and commencement is about where we will be going. See, what happens at a commencement is somebody gives what is called a commencement address. And that commencement address is essentially a commissioning, telling you that you are now being sent into the next season of your life, and you are being challenged to take that next step with courage in your journey. But it is the work that you have been doing that gets you on the stage. And it is the work that you have been doing up until that point that determines where you actually will be going. Because there's some people that didn't do the work. They didn't show up to the class. They didn't complete the assignments. And they did not pass the test. And they did not graduate, so they do not get to take part in commencement. But you know, sometimes I've discovered that we want God to move us into the next season. We want God to move us into a new opportunity. We want God to move us into a new blessing. But the reality of it is that we didn't put the necessary work into the last season. We didn't show up every day and live intentionally. We did not complete all of our assignments, and we did not pass all of the necessary exams. We desire the gain, but we don't want to put forth the pain. We want a brand new beginning, but this is what I would tell you about brand new beginnings, is that many times the new beginning only shows up at a completed ending. We want a brand new beginning, but the brand new beginning only shows up in our life at a completed ending. Even the new beginning that we experience in our faith journey, even our moment of salvation, salvation that we receive by grace and through faith. It is a free gift to us, but can we notice that it came at the completion of Christ's work on the earth? The scripture that we read there in Hebrews in verse 2, when it's speaking of Jesus, it said, who for the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing his deity, his authority, and the completion of his work. Here at North Point, we talk about the great exchange. It's what happened on the cross, that Jesus took our sin on himself and he imputed, or he gave us, his righteousness. The truth of it is he did the work. He showed up on the earth. He finished his assignment. He passed his test. He's the one that graduated, but we got to take part in the commencement. But from that moment on in your faith journey, your graduation and your commencement will completely rely on how much you allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. The first commencement is free. Jesus did the work. You can't earn your way into heaven. You can't work your way into eternal life. The first is a free gift of God. Jesus showed up. He put in the work. He was diligent to the end. He completed his assignment. He graduated. And because he graduated, you get to stand at commencement. You get to move forward in life. But from that moment on, in our faith journey, it is up to us. This is what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us. Everybody say us. Okay, it is his power that is at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. You see, he is the one who is able, but we're the ones that must be agreeable. He is able to do it, but we must get into agreement with it. You see, just because God can do it doesn't mean that we will see it. Agreement means that it is the state of being in accord or the state of being in harmony with. And you see, if you are going to see the things that God wants you to see, if you are going to see the immeasurably more in your life, if you are going to see infinitely more than you could ever ask, think, or imagine, if you are going to see that in your life, it all depends on how much work you let the power of God do within you. And you have to get into agreement with what he desires. And when you get in agreement with what he desires, his power is working on the inside of you to take you places that you never dreamed possible in your life. Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Notice here, it doesn't say work hard for salvation. It says work hard to show the results of your salvation. Work hard to show the fruit of your salvation. You have to work hard. And it says work hard. And then it says obey God. And how many of you understand that obeying God is hard work? It says, but God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. But hey, can we just stop for a moment and say, yeah, okay, there is a desire within us to please God. But how many of you understand when you start the journey of walking with God, so many times the old desires are still stronger than the new desires? Even after you've been following God, you still have some unholy natural desires in you that can be stronger than the desire that God has placed in you. That's why it doesn't say that he just gave you a desire. He say he gave you a desire and he gave you the power to do what pleases him, because it is his supernatural power that will overpower any natural desire that is in you. So that we can never be without excuse to say, well, I just don't feel like obeying God right now. I don't feel like doing the right thing. I just don't feel it right now. That's okay. You might have had the desire earlier in the week. Maybe even today you have the desire to please God. It is there. It is in you. That's why you came to church on Sunday morning. You have a desire to do it. But maybe you get to Wednesday afternoon and the desire to please yourself is greater than the desire to please God. That's okay, because he gave you supernatural power so that you could say no to your natural desires and live a life that pleases him. But he says it's hard work. It's hard work. You see, and sometimes in life we can get in this place where we feel stuck. We almost feel like we're repeating the same grade over and over again. We feel like we're walking around the same mountain time and time again. And we are wondering, when are things ever going to change? And God is wondering, when will we ever graduate? He wants to hold a commencement ceremony for us. He is ready to send us into the next phase and the next season. He is ready for us to move into that new opportunity. He is ready to push us forward into the plan and the purpose that he created us for. He is ready for the commencement, but are we ready to graduate? I'm going to just give you two things this morning, two things that we must graduate from, two things that we must graduate from. The first thing that we must graduate from is impurity. We must graduate from impurity. That's what the Bible says in the text that we read there in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us. Let me just say this right off the beginning. It is possible to live in purity. It is possible to live in purity. It is possible. It's not only God's suggestion for you, it's God's strategy for you. God's strategy for your life. He created you to live a life of overflow, to live a life of abundance. It's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I came so that you might have an abundant life, that you would live a life to the full until it overflows. That is the plan of God. And so God's desire for you to be holy and to live pure, it is not a suggestion. It's actually his strategy to take you where he wants you to go. And so when the scripture says you have to throw off that sin that so easily entangles, so easily trips you up, it's not saying for you to do something that's impossible for you to do. It's in the scripture because it wants you to know that it is possible for you. You can throw off that old habit. You can throw off that old desire. It is possible for you, with the power of God working in you, to throw off anything that used to be present in your life. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, I love this in the Message translation. It's Eugene Peterson's paraphrase of the Bible, but it says it so beautifully. In verse 1, it says, watch what God does and then do it. Enough said. Watch what God does and then do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Don't allow love to turn into lust, setting off a downhill slide into sexual promiscuity, filthy practices, or bullying greed. Though some tongues just love the taste of gossip, those who follow Jesus have better uses for language than that. Don't talk dirty or silly. That kind of talk doesn't fit our style. Thanksgiving is our dialect. You can be sure that using people or religion or things just for what you can get out of them the usual variations on idolatry will get you nowhere, and certainly nowhere near the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God. See, it makes it so clear that we are to watch God and to follow His ways. And if we are going to do that, how many of you know we have to graduate from the things that are trying to prevent us from being like God? I mean, let's just say the way it really is today. You just have to say no to greed. You just have to say no to lust. You just have to say no to immorality. You just have to say no to gossip. Say no to hate. Say no to prejudice. Say no to bitterness. Say no to lying. You just have to say no to selfishness. There is no other way to uproot impurity out of your life. You just have to say no. And this isn't just so you can be a better person. See, this is where we miss it so many times, because we've heard things in the past like, oh, you're just a goody two-shoes, or oh, I just need to go to church so I can be a better person. It's not about becoming a better person. You see, you have to remove impurity out of your life so that you don't become imprisoned by your own impurity. Impurity is a prison for you. And if you don't get it out of your life, you will spend your life trapped by something that was never intended to be there in the first place. And from your prison of impurity, you will gaze through the bars and you will see other people living in freedom. You will see other people living in abundance, and you will feel like, well, that just wasn't meant for me, or that was never something that was in the cards for me. And the truth of the matter is you have everything that you need for living a godly life, for ripping the bars of that prison down, because it is what God, you allow God to do in you, that determines where you live. What the scripture says in Galatians chapter 6, for whatever a man sows, whatever, you could just put your name right there. Whatever Joe sows, whatever Sally sows, whatever I sow, this and only this is what he will reap. For the one who sows to the flesh, his sinful capacity, his worldliness, his disgraceful impulses, will reap from the flesh ruin and destruction. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. You see, it is in your power into what you sow. And if you have the power to what you sow into, guess what? You also have the power what you reap from. So in life, if we get imprisoned by impurity, guess what happens? We only reap destruction. And we wonder what's going on in my life, why I can't get to the next season, why I can't get my breakthrough, why I can't get to that new opportunity. And I have imprisoned myself because of the seeds that I have sown. But it's up to me where I sow that seed. So I might have sown to myself and sown to my fear and sown to my flesh and sown to my greed and sown to my pornography and sown to my immorality. I might have been sowing those seeds, but guess what? If I stop sowing seeds there and I say no more, I am sick and tired of living this way, I'm going to start sowing seeds into the kingdom of God and in my relationship with God, and I'm going to start sowing seeds over here. Guess what? Now I get to reap abundant and eternal life. It's in my control. And can I tell you, it doesn't matter what the last 20 years looks like. It doesn't matter where you have sown your seeds the last few decades. You have today to begin to change the place you sow your seed. And when you change where you sow your seed, you change your future. You see, God's not a cruel dictator. He's a caring liberator. God is a caring liberator. He wants you to live free. He wants you to live as successful lives. He wants you to live in the abundance. He wants you to live in the overflow. But he gives us instruction in his word. If you want to live that life, you have to strip off every weight that holds you down. And you have to get rid of that sin that so easily entangles you. And the only way I've discovered in my life to do that is to be ruthless and persistent. To show up every day and to look that sin in the face and say, not today. Not today. You might have entangled me and tripped me up for the last 10 years, but not today. I'm not sowing seed over there anymore. I'm sowing seed in a brand new place because I want a brand new future. I'm tired of living in the prison of my own impurity, and today's the day I break out. I haven't found any other way. But see, when you realize that sin, that impurity, when you realize that prison is trying to steal, kill, and destroy from you, come on, can we just be frankly this morning? It's also coming in to steal, kill, and destroy from your children. It's trying to wreck your marriage. It's trying to ruin your reputation. It's trying to dim your light. It's trying to steal your joy, to steal your purpose. The reason the impurity is in your life, the enemy brought it there to destroy everything that God had intended for you. And whenever that dawns on you, I'm not participating in that anymore. And if you need help, hey, look, if you need help with something in your life, this place is full of people that are here to help you. If you need help, if you are struggling with some impurity and some sin, and you literally feel like you are living life, moving along at this pace because you are so wrapped up, you need to go right to the back at the end of service. You need to give us your name. You need to get in a group this summer because you need to get with somebody and you need to tell them, I am having a difficult time with this. Can you please help me? Be amazed what other people in this place are struggling with. Come in and you feel like, I'm the only sinner here. Thank God they let sinners in. You wouldn't have a preacher this morning. We can't play with impurity. We got to get impurity out of our lives. We got to graduate from impurity. Here's the second thing that we have to graduate from, and that's immaturity. We have to graduate from immaturity. In Hebrews 12, it says there, let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us, looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith. He is the first incentive of our belief, and he is the one who brings our faith to maturity. See, the word immaturity means not mature, ripe, or developed. Not mature, not ripe, or not developed. Impurity is living with sin. Immaturity is living without fruit. Impurity is living with sin. Immaturity is living without fruit. You see, just because sin is not dominating my life doesn't necessarily mean that fruit is being developed in my life. See, I can't just remove sin away. No, there's got to be something else that's being developed on the inside of me. I can remove sin, but I have to make sure that I'm moving into maturity in my life. This is what I found. I found that impurity leads to destruction, but immaturity leads to distraction. Impurity is what we just read, that if you sow to the flesh, you will reap destruction. It's what the Bible says. Sin will lead you. Impurity will lead you to destruction. But I found that immaturity leads you to distraction. Immaturity causes you to forget, as the scripture says, that you are running your race. You are running your race. You're not running your spouse's race. You're not running the race of the person that's sitting next to you today. You're not running the race for the person that's sitting down at Cypress Baptist Church. You're not running the race against the person that's sitting at home. You are running your race today. And he says, how do you run this race? How do we do this? How is this possible? It says it right there. We are running this race. We have to run with endurance and active persistence. Come on, that lets us know that it's not going to be easy, but we can finish it. It says here in verse 2, looking away from all that will distract us. Looking away from all that will distract us. That means there's a lot of things out there that can distract you. And focusing our eyes on Jesus. Why do you focus your eyes on Jesus? Because he's the only one that can bring your faith to maturity. Here's what we do sometimes. We get in the race and we start running the race. You know, we have an encounter with Jesus. We invite Jesus into our life. God changed. I start moving impurity out and getting sin out. Everything's going good, and I'm running my race, but I haven't matured yet. I don't have any real ripe fruit yet in my life. I'm not really developed yet. I'm running my race, and this is what happens. When we're running our race, we get tempted to look into the next lane. And I'm running my race, but I start peeking to see what kind of technique they have. And I peek over here to see what they're believing. And I start peeking over here to see how much they're praying. I start peeking over here to see what's wrong with their marriage. And I'm running my race, but I'm not focused on Jesus because I got my head on the swivel. I'm looking at the people running next to me, and I'm trying to see what their tempo is and what their stride is and how pretty their running form looks. And then I start judging these people because they're running ugly. And I start envying these people because they got a nice running style and they got good shoes on. And then I start despising them because they're ahead of me. And I start despising them because it doesn't look like they're doing their job and they're not representing Jesus very well on the earth. And the whole time I'm living in immaturity. Because the only one who can bring me to maturity is in front of me. Jesus is the only one who can bring my faith to maturity. That's why Jesus said, he said, hey, don't focus on the little piece of wood they got in their eye when you have a log in your own. He says, look, you just focus on you. You just focus on me. Let me and you have this relationship. I will bring you into maturity. I will make you ripe. I will develop you. I will mature you so that you can be who I called you to be. The person in the lane in your left and the person in your lane to the right cannot do for you what Jesus can do for you. That's Jesus' job. We get distracted. We get distracted by what they're believing. We get distracted by what they're saying. We get so easily distracted. Jesus tells this parable in Luke chapter 8, verse 11. He told a story about a farmer who'd gone out and thrown some seed. He said, some seed fell on the footpath, another seed fell in the rocks, and some fell among the weeds, and some fell on the fertile soil. And then Jesus here begins to explain the parable. And it says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. The seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message, only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. So they don't even get to the first, the starting line, if you would. The seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, then they fall away, or they fall away from the faith when they face temptation. Now, you understand, temptation is not an external thing. Temptation is an internal thing. It's what James tells us, that we are led away by our own evil desires. And whenever we give birth to sin, sin is actually going to lead us to death. That's what it says in James chapter 1. So we see here that they have fallen to impurity. Okay, they have fallen to impurity. And now we move to verse 14. The seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, so they never grow into maturity. So the fruit never ripens. So they never reach the place of full development. Verse 15, but the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. I want you to know that maturity is not determined by how long it's been since you came to Jesus. Maturity is determined by how much you have been conforming to Jesus. Doesn't matter how long you've been in the church. Doesn't matter if you've been in the church since you were a small child and today you are an old man. That doesn't guarantee your maturity. Maturity is not the time that you've spent in the pews. Maturity is found in the time that you've spent with Jesus. Letting him work on your heart and work on your life. It's really about how much have you just focused on him. How much have you just put your eyes on him and say, I don't want there to be any immaturity in me. I don't want anything to choke this life out of me. I don't want anybody's opinion. I don't want any care of the world. I don't want any worry. I don't want any anxiety. I don't want anything to choke out what you have for me. And you see, it's immaturity that will cost you your fruit. Jesus said in the story that it's these things that come and they just start choking you out. Start choking you out. Now, it's not the people right before. They fell away. Temptation lured them away. They fell out because of impurity, because that's what sin does. Sin destroys you. And so you're sitting here today and you're saying, look, I'm not in that group, man. I'm working sin out. I'm not in the place of destruction. But just because you're not in the place of destruction doesn't mean that you're not in the place of distraction. I can be distracted by other things, and it's choking my development, and it's choking my fruitfulness in my life. Let's look at this last scripture, and then we're going to close in Galatians chapter 5. Here it talks about some of the fruit that we need to be producing. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the result of His presence within us. Okay, so this is where the fruit comes. Do we see that? We can't miss that. The fruit of the Spirit, it comes as the result of His presence within us. It comes when your heart focuses on Jesus, when you put your attention on Him and on His kingdom. And it says this is the fruit. It is love, unselfish concern for others. It's joy, it's inner peace, it's patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while we're waiting. It's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Verse 24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature together with its passions and appetites. If we claim to live by the Holy Spirit, we must also walk by the Spirit with personal integrity, godly character, and moral courage, our conduct empowered by the Holy Spirit. This is what we are to produce in our lives. We have said that discipleship, here we have defined discipleship as our process to progress, our process to progress. But can I tell you today, to a large degree, you are in control of how long the process takes. Discipleship is the process to progress. But you know, many times when we define it that way, we say, well, it's just a process. Who knows how long it's going to take? Well, you are one of the main determining factors in how long it takes. How long is it going to take you to get that kind of love in your life? How long is it going to take you to get joy in your life? How long is it going to take you for mature things? You say, well, what does maturity look like? It looks like smiling when you don't feel like smiling. That's what maturity looks like. People say, I don't want to be fake. It's not fake. It's called being faithful. Because I'm the light of the world. Nobody wants to see the light of the world walking into work grumpy with a frown on their face. This is maturity. Oh, my heart might be broken. But I'm the light of the world. I'm growing and I'm developing. I got a smile on my face. You know what maturity looks like? Being kind to people that aren't kind to you. Just being kind. That's what maturity looks like. You know what maturity looks like? It looks like speaking life when it would be just as easy to speak death. You know what maturity looks like? Encouraging every person that you get around. Lifting people up. Building their faith. Helping them see the bright side of life. That's what maturity looks like. You know what maturity looks like? Just being grateful. I choose today to be grateful. Of course you got 100 things you can complain about. But you got 1,000 things you could be grateful for. And you'll miss the 1,000 things if you only focus on the 100 things. I'm just going to be grateful. You get to control that. Your mama don't control that. What church you go to doesn't control that. Jesus himself doesn't control that. You control that. What kind of maturity are you going to display in your life this week? You know what maturity looks like? Real maturity looks like being more in love with Jesus than my own opinions. Being more in love with Jesus than my own opinions. Even could I even step up and say even my own interpretation of Scripture? Being more in love with Jesus than my personal bent of Scripture. I'm more in love with Jesus. It means more to me. I'm looking at Him. He's developing something in me. And He is more important than anything else in my life. But you notice when we started, I told you that it's graduation time. I didn't say it was commencement time. Because I could tell you today that it's commencement time, and everybody in here is moving into the next season, and everybody's getting ready, woo, yeah, commencement time. We get all clapped for commencement time. That's not what I told you. It's graduation time. And you know when graduation starts? Your first day of your freshman year. That's when graduation time starts, because will you put in the work day after day, showing up to class, completing the assignments, passing the exams, so that one day you can sit on the stage and it can be commencement day for you, and God can say, I'm getting ready to launch you into the next season of your life. I'm getting ready to open a door that you never thought would open for you. I'm getting ready to bless you. I'm getting ready to promote you. I'm getting ready to launch you into your future that you never dreamed possible. I'm getting ready for that. But you don't get to commencement without putting in the work that puts you on the flat platform in order to graduate. It's graduation time. It's time for us to remove some impurity, and it's time for us to add some maturity. Because we are in control of both. Remove the impurity, add the maturity. And let's get ready for the commencement day when God pushes us into the next season of life. Amen. Come on, will you stand to your feet this morning? Come on, bow your heads just for a moment. It's graduation time. You say, what does that mean? That means it's time to go to work. It's time to go to work. That means it's time to show up every day and live intentionally and on purpose. It's graduation time. You say, what does that mean? That means it's time for you to complete your assignments. It's graduation time. What does that mean? It means that it is time for you to pass the test. The test of immaturity. The test of impurity. It's time for you to pass the test. It's time for you to get rid of that sin that has been entangling you and tripping you up. It's time for you to get maturity into your life, to stop looking to the left and looking to the right and fix your eyes on Jesus, the only one who can develop and ripen the fruit within you to bring you to full and complete maturity in your life. How do you say, Philip, I know you're talking right to me today, and it's time for me to go to work. I'm not going to have you step out in the aisle. I'm not going to have you come down front. You say, Philip, did this word is for me. Hey, you might wish it was commencement day, but since you're honest with yourself today, you say, man, I'm not on that platform. I'm not on that stage today. It's time for me to go to work. It's time for me to go to work. Oh, I believe there will be a commencement. I believe there will be ascending. I believe there will be a commissioning. I believe it's coming in my life. I believe that God is going to launch me into the future that He has, but I've got to deal with some things in me. It's time for me to graduate from impurity. It's time for me to graduate from immaturity. You say, Philip, you are talking straight to me this morning, and I am ready to get to work. Right there where you are, you know that I'm speaking to you right now. Come on, lift up your hand and say, you're talking to me, Philip. You're talking to me. You're talking to me. It's time for me to go to work. It's time for me to go to work. That sin has just hung around too long. It's just been there too long. It's been there too long. It's time for me to get ruthless. It's time for me to get persistent. I got to dig it out. Got to get it out. That immaturity, putting my eyes on other people. What are they saying? What are they believing? What are they listening to? What's going on? All the cares of the world, all the philosophies of the church and all the different things. I'm paying attention to all of it. You say, I just got to put my eyes back on Jesus and know that he's called me to run my race. Come on, with that hand lifted right now, will you just repeat this prayer after me? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, today I need you. I need your power working on the inside of me. I'm ready to remove impurity. I'm ready to add maturity. It's graduation time. And I'm ready to go to work because I believe there is a commencement for me in my future. Father, I pray right now for each and every person that lifted up their hand. God, I thank you that here in this moment, God, that you are helping us. You are empowering us. You are opening up our eyes to see things that we have never seen before. God, that we are going to remove that sin, that we are going to remove that impurity. We are not going to live in that prison of impurity. God, we are breaking out of that prison today, sowing seeds in brand new places so that we can reap fruit in brand new places in our life. God, help us to become mature and complete. God, help us to be fruitful in every single way. And God, we ask that your will be done in our lives and in our futures. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, if you believe it today, put your hands.
Here at North Point Community Church, we believe in creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community through the message of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your support. If you would like more information, you can visit our website at ncc.team or follow us on any social media platform at CC North Point.